Cindy honoured and delighted to have Laura among us. Some of you will know her very well, some of you won't. She's an incredible woman of God, leads a great church in Birmingham. Many of you will know about Spirit Cafe that we've been running here under Colette and Trevor and Joanna's leadership for 3 years now. And Spirit Cafe, well, that's Laura's project. She launched that and she's currently running, I think, 40 Spirit Cafes around the world. Yeah. Recently spent quite a long time in Russia.
Thanks, teamwork here. Great.
It's difficult to speak, hold the microphone and operate that at the same time. Recently has been in Russia and has set up some Spirit Cafes there. So it's been great for the Spirit Cafe team, I think, to have Laurie among you to keep you sharp and keep you envisioned. So can we just welcome Laurie, please?
Spread myself out here so much. It's really great to be here. I do think I have a word from the Lord today, but also I just wanted to share what I got this morning from the Spirit Cafe in Siberia. Would that be okay? So we have a leaders group with those who belong to Spirit Cafes, and we ask each other to pray for each other as we're about to have a Spirit Cafe or something like that. So these guys are so excited. They probably started, when were we in Siberia? Sort of the middle of September, I think. So middle to end of September. And we launched, can you believe it? I find myself like pinch saying, we launched a Spirit Cafe in Siberia? Like, what? And while I was, you know, planning that trip, you know, I've talked before about sort of partnering with the Lord and getting on side with some of the ideas that he might have and beginning to tap into this whole team mentality of I'm on team Jesus and collectively we start to get ideas together. So I felt like he was sort of saying to me as we were planning this trip, and what would you like to do there? And I said, you know, Lord, I'd really like to go to St. Petersburg and launch a Spirit Cafe there. And it was looking really tough to organize it just in the way that we had to do the flights and travel. And it's a huge country. So, you know, the time difference between here and Siberia is actually 8 hours. So to Moscow is 2, but then to another, up to Siberia was another 6 hours on top of that. So 8 hours. So it's a big country. Anyway, we also got to launch 2 Spirit Cafes in St. Petersburg. And I had to contend for that a little bit. I'll be honest and vulnerable with you to say that I had some kidney surgery in the spring. And then they did a follow-up x-ray and so on and had to take out an embedded stone. And I won't go into the gruesome details, but went for a follow-up scan. And he said, well, the good news is all of that is fine. Kidneys are fine, but you do have another stone floating around. And I said, okay, brilliant. So there I am in St. Petersburg, done all the training, just finishing up the training, about to do the launch that night, and I'm passing a kidney stone. And, you know, it's not really one of those things you want to tell people, you know, for lots of reasons, like you should eat better, or you should lose weight, or just, oh, poor you, or any of those things. So I tend to be a bit of a private person about that kind of stuff, believe it or not. And, anyway, I just felt like the Lord said, yeah, I think you should ask this group of 100 people, because I was at the school, to pray for you about this. And as soon as they did, the pain left. And so I had already decided I'm going to go back to the hotel room and have an hour's rest and just see what happens. And if need be, I can take a cab to the location. So I did, and I actually got to see the launch in St. Petersburg. But I felt like you know, the Lord was just so on the stuff that we were doing in Russia. Certainly for me, but also for this group of people. And I shared this the other day when I walked into this church in Siberia, which was full. They'd never met me before. It was only a recommendation. But it's a group of 130 churches. This is the mother church that I was at. And they're all formed on rehab centers. And when I walked in, I literally felt that verse that says, to whom much is forgiven, him loveth much. I could feel it in the air that these guys really love Jesus because they are aware of what they came from. They're aware of the rescue. So anyway, all of that to put in context, they are over the moon and They sent me this report this morning on the page, and it's a little bit broken because they do it through Google Translate. Just want to tell you that. Love you, precious. Hi to you from Russia. The Holy Spirit works in our congregation, brings people from the spiritual cafe, heals and restores the retreating. I'm not sure what that means, but anyway, God healed the tumor today during worship of someone who had come to a spirit cafe, randomly walked in, introduced to Jesus through that encounter and treatment moment, and came to church, which is also a good thing, and got healed in worship, which is amazing. So just tell the person beside you, he's really on the move. He's really doing stuff. He's really doing stuff. I want to talk to you a little bit. What time do you finish? Okay. So I'll try to honor that. But I think we should just do a little bit more with healing. So you need to be asking the Lord for something else, my friend. But I just want us to just pause for a second and honor space for the Holy Spirit to come and heal and restore. Do you know our great hero of the faith here in the UK, Smith Wigglesworth, used to say this: if God's not moving, and I'm not suggesting he isn't, but if God's not moving in a meeting, I will move him. Now, don't you think that sounds like a really audacious, borderline arrogant thing to say? It depends if you know him or not. It depends if you have any relationship with him. Mary would say, if Brian's not going to suggest this, I'll get him to suggest it. You know, if you know somebody well, you can move them a little bit. You can suggest things. We talked about a particular movie. I won't bring you down here and tell them which movie it was. But, okay. We watched Bohemian Rhapsody last night. Yeah. I loved the movie. Now, I was a good Christian girl who never listened to rock music. But my goodness, if you don't like some of Queen's music, I don't know what's wrong. Because it's just good, isn't it? In spite of Freddie Mercury, his reputation, and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, I thought the movie was good. So we just had a really great time of just enjoying each other, and he had to go get out one of his old Alice Cooper albums and say, look, this is my first album, and just got a little bit secular there. But the point is, God wants to work with you and I. And no one will be more staggered by that than me, I don't think. Because honestly, I would pick all kinds of people before I pick me. I really would. And if we take any sort of introspective look at our own life, our failures, our arguments, our negotiations with the Lord, we would say, pick somebody else. We all prayed that. Lord, here am I. Pick them. Here am I. Send them. Right? You're hearing this story about Lori going to Russia. Wow, that's great. Here am I, Lord. Send her to more places. Right? Do you know I have an invitation to go to Syria and launch a spirit cafe? My kids are like, no, you're not going to Syria, Mom. I'm like, well, I don't think I am, but you know, I'm still going to trust the Lord. We're going to go to Kazakhstan this year. My son is like, you know, it's a Muslim nation, right, Mom? The places where they put pastors in jail. I said, yeah, I know. But it definitely feels like the Lord has opened the door. And in Kazakhstan, if you preach Jesus outside the church, that's against the law. But it's not against the law to preach inside the church. So we're going to do Spirit Cafe, invite all these people to come in and have an encounter with God, do a closer at the end, and lead them all to Jesus. Doesn't that sound like great news? Doesn't that sound like fun? Yeah. Honestly, I'm having more fun than I've ever had, I think. So I want you all to stand for a second. I'm actually going to take some initiative here. I'm a friend of the house now. Been here long enough. So everybody who is on the senior leadership or vision team or whatever you're called, I want you to come to the front. Because these guys are the ones who are going to have the words of knowledge. I might too. But here's the thing. If we don't use what we have, what he's given us, how on earth would he trust us with more? How does he know? How does he know you're going to do it? So I'm giving you guys a little bit of time. I'm going to share a testimony or two while you are saying, oh God, please give me something for the people here. A sickness. You might feel something in your body. You might have sort of just a thought go through, and we're going to go for it. Okay? Because this is where we get to hone these skills. So I'm in Kenya a few years ago. All of you can sort of half listen, but make sure you're asking the Lord for some sort of thing you want to go for in terms of healing. So I'm in Kenya because Jess is doing Harvest Garden stuff. And generally when I go, I don't tell them I'm a pastor because that has a different connotation to them. And it's almost a false respect. And yeah, it's not so great. So I try to I'm just her mom and I'm just there to assist her and help her with some of the garden stuff. But anyway, I was at this guest house. Forgive me if you've heard this testimony, but it's important in terms of what we're going to do. In this guest house, which was quite nice, you can sit, by the way. Sorry, I didn't mean to make you all stand, but these guys have to stand. You can stand if you want to. If you're like, something's going to happen, you can stand. Anyway, the housekeeper made a request that I go pray for her son. And it happened to be an afternoon where I was free, didn't have anything on. And I said, well, sure, I'll go pray. She knew who I was. And so I said, yeah, okay, well, we can go pray. Can I just tell you, I didn't feel anything. It's not like I had a dream the night before of going to pray for the son and that he was going to get healed. Didn't feel any of that. Didn't feel any excitement, any tingling. Didn't have any sensation at all other than I was asked to go pray. Why not? It was that moment. Do you understand? See, God is moving us from these encounter moments of revelation where I hear a lightning bolt or, you know, my body is trembling and so I know he's working, to this place of him whispering to me or just as you go. Jesus healed everybody kind of as he went. He didn't like have this incredible earth stopped rotating moment where the Father would say, this one. It wasn't like that with him. It was natural. It just came out of him. So anyway, there I am. I'm not really feeling anything. And I sit down on this guy's bed. I walked into their little adobe home and sat down on the side of his bed. He's lying on his bed, and the only thing that can help him move is this rope suspended from the ceiling. So this is maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. This rope suspended from the ceiling, that's the only way he can at all get any kind of comfort or relief from this excruciating back pain, is to kind of hold himself. One thing I noted, by the way, was that he was happy. How come you moved over there? Oh, okay. I see. I thought he was... yeah, we'll start down there. Yeah.
Because Trevor's kind of hiding now.
Yeah. So we'll start there. It's all right. So back to the story. I said, well, what actually is wrong with him? And the story is this. He's 21 years old now. 3 years previous to that, not now, but in the moment of being at his house. At 18 years of age, he fell over and hadn't walked since that point. It took another year for them to sort of get a diagnosis, which was tuberculosis of the spine. It took another year to save enough money to go to Nairobi and have the operation that would help correct that situation. By the time he gets there, the surgeons open him up and close him back up and say, there's nothing we can do. He just take him home, keep him comfortable, and let him die at home. So the only thing that he has done in terms of walking is someone gave him a Zimmer frame, and he had walked 3 steps in 3 years. Different people have come and gone. And I sit down at the edge of his bed, and I just have my hand on his arm. And I'm just spending a bit of time with him and talking to him and reminding him of truth. In terms of healing, do you know that Jesus healed everyone who came to him without exception? It's important to know that it's without exception because I would always put myself in that category. I would always be the exception. Why I'm not getting the miracle that I want or whatever. And we need to understand everyone who came to him for healing, he healed every single one of them without exception. He didn't heal all of Jerusalem, but he healed everyone who came to him. And he healed them then. There isn't one recording of him saying, yep, today's not your day. You go sort this out and then come back and then you'll get healed. There's no recordings of that. And so we have some mixed up theology in that sometimes. And we need to kind of go back to the source and remember what it looked like. Because that same power and authority on him, he handed to you and me. And said, now you guys go do this. So somehow in childlikeness, we need to take hold of that and not get super complicated about healing. Just understand this is exactly how it's supposed to be, that everyone who comes for healing gets healed without exception. And he's still alive, right? We have to know that that healing power, that virtue, is still alive and well in us. Just look at somebody next to you and say, you know, you're his representative.
You're his representative.
It's incredible, isn't it? Don't you think it's amazing? Because we kind of look at each other and discount each other for this reason or that reason. But actually, I'm still alive because he's not done with me yet. The day that I die, he is done with my assignment. I'm finished. It's accomplished. So it's not done yet. And I have this hankering in my heart to raise some dead people. I am definitely wanting to raise a dead baby. You all know my story. And so when my daughter asked me, how can you get up and preach again with three grandchildren in heaven, and having walked this through with her recently, I said two reasons. One, I know how good he is. This is one of those unexplainable things that I could blame him for. But to be honest, the scales are so heavily tipped in his favor in terms of his track record with me and his goodness to me, that even if I think this is a bad thing he's done to me, it's still way heavier on this side. But here's the second reason. One day, someone else will present me with a dead baby and say, would you raise this baby from the dead? And I want to be ready for that day. I want to keep pushing for that day. I will not be stopped in what's happened in my experience with my own family. So anyway, back to the story about this boy in Kenya. I wish I could remember his name. I'm sorry, I can't. Anyway, spent some time with him, and I began to take authority over the pain. So he has debilitating pain in his back, and I put my hand on his back. And I spend 5 minutes or so doing that. And I said, how's the pain? Well, it's moved up to my shoulder. Okay, put my hand on his shoulder. Spend 5 minutes that. Okay, well, now it's moved to my elbow. And so all of that for us who is the one pressing in, we need to take encouragement from that. What I'm praying is actually moving something, like Smith Wigglesworth. Let's move this stuff, right? So anyway, the pain ends up coming to his hand and right out of his body. Now he's sitting there for the first time in 3 years with no pain. But what's also happening to him, he's violently shaking. And because I didn't want to assume, I didn't actually know his condition, whether or not he ever had tremors or any of that ever happened to him, I said, is anything happening to you that is unusual? And he looked at me like I was, you know, crazy, because obviously this shaking was happening. And he said, well, this is different. And I looked him in the eye, and it was, honestly, it was just such a powerful moment. I said, it's impossible for the power of God to touch you and you remain the same. It's not possible. You're talking about, you know, I like science. I loved science growing up and had a little chemistry set and microscope. That's the kind of presents my dad used to always buy me, and we loved it. So when you take something and you combine it with something else and it becomes a third chemical, you can't undo that. You can't just take that back. It's a new thing. And we're talking about the Creator. When he begins to touch you and I physically, something happens that is not the same as it was. We talked to Collins about him being the Alpha and the Omega. There's no half Rembrandt paintings that Jesus has ever done. We can look at each other and think, well, you're only half done, but yeah, I'm not there yet. It's not a finished work yet. So anyway, we said to this guy, okay, well, since you have no pain, would you like to walk a little bit? I'm almost at the end of this story, guys. Those of you who are saying, God, I need a word or something. Okay, I'm almost at the end. And I said, would you like to walk? And he said, well, okay, I guess so. I was there with another pastor friend, and we had this guy put his arms around our shoulders so that we could help stabilize him and help him walk. So he takes a few steps, and obviously he's not completely healed. And the pastor that's with me said, well, this is amazing. This is a really good start. Let's take you back to the bed, and we will continue to pray for you when I go home to our church and back to Canada and so on. And I'm just thinking, no. See, we need to have something about us that says, this is not right. This is not right that this 21-year-old is waiting to die. Happy as anything, by the way, just a really joyful guy. It's not right. And who's going to push for some of this? Who's actually going to stay with that person for a bit? Who's going to see that through a little bit more? And so I just asked the Holy Spirit and said, are you finished? And he said, no, I'm not finished. So I said to him, well, would it be okay if we just persisted a little bit more and just prayed again and walked a little bit more, he said, if you want to, okay. So we walked over to the edge of his house, which was probably about 8 or 9 steps, more than he'd walked in 3 years. I said, how are you feeling? He said, I'm okay. So how about we step up these 2 steps and go outside your little hut and we'll just walk around outside for a bit. Would that be all right? He's like, yeah, that's okay. So we do that 3 times. The guy with me said, okay, that's amazing. We'll take you back to your bed inside and we're just going to keep believing God to heal you. And I said, Holy Spirit, are you done yet? And the Holy Spirit said, I'm not done yet. I said, okay, well, let me ask the guy, would you like to go back to your bed? Or what if, see, this is where you need to understand the teamwork, creativity of working with God. Because I said, okay, I need a creative idea then. How about a lawn chair? We'll get this guy a chair and he can sit for a few minutes. Would that be okay? He's like, sure, that's fine. So he sits in this white lawn chair. And he looks down at his ankles and he says this, I have veins. And I'm like, what? He says, can you not see my veins sticking out? They have had no blood flow in 3 years, so there's never been any visual sign of blood. You can see the coagulation in my ankles. So he's all encouraged by that. And I'm like, okay, if he's encouraged, I'm encouraged. So we walked a total of, I know it was a magic number really, but 7 times the front and side of the house. By the end, we are literally holding his pinky finger on either side just for balance. Then he said, okay, I think I'm ready to go back. So we took him back to his thing. His mom came to me the following day, and she usually gets up before 6 in the morning and walks several miles to the place of employment. And I said, oh, how's your son today? And she said, you know, when I went past his room for the first time in 3 years, he was snoring. He slept through the night because he never has a relief from the pain, so he never sleeps. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And she stood there and she said, can I just thank you? Because nobody has ever sat with him before. Everyone prays for him from across the room. And here's the thought the devil planted right then. What is tuberculosis of the spine? Is it contagious? And if you know what it is, or if you Google it, do not tell me. Because I don't care what it is. Jesus never got leprosy from healing lepers. But in that moment, I had a choice. And I went, well, it doesn't matter. You know, we need to press in with people if we want to see. Jesus prayed twice for the blind person. I think if for no other reason, that should encourage us to just be persistent. Just keep going with this. Just keep asking them, well, what's different? How does it feel? Collins has no numbness in your feet. Is that still the same? No numbness. You know why? Because we pressed in 3 times. I think it's because we're kind of operating with low voltage. We're not operating in the same level of anointing that Jesus did. It's available to us, but most of us are not there. But part of the secret to it is what I'm going to talk about in terms of being faithful with what he's given. So we're going to start with you, Trevor. Do you have a word or a picture or?
I have an impression of love.
Here, should we do this? Is this recorded?
Yeah.
It's recorded.
I have an impression of lungs, so I think it's a breathing disorder. I think if anyone's having trouble breathing, I feel God wants to expand those lungs to help them breathe better.
Okay. So who has trouble breathing? Okay, one person here, anybody else? This is not the day to be shy. Don't be shy today. Anybody else? Only one person in the room, trouble breathing. There's another one. Stand to your feet. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. And you do, right? So why don't we get you to go back there and you go back to them. Take authority over that. Speak to new lungs and new fibers and all of that and go for it. All right? Work that Rembrandt. Okay.
I had a picture of a screw and a, please help me out. Will you screw the bolt? Thank you. But it was all rusted and it was not moving. But then I saw like oil being poured over it and then sort of restoring the movement. I think it's got to do with, something to do with people struggling with some kind of movement in their bodies, joints or anything like that.
Hands for joints. They seem to be collected there. So how about you come over and stand in that aisle? I have some too. Would you just pray for my knee and then I'm going to carry on?
Yeah.
I have arthritis in this knee, so it'll be awesome. He'll be right with you. Okay.
I have the picture of a person standing up with a stick, the problem with the knees, I think.
Okay.
Knees or ankles or...
Okay. So somebody with the stick has trouble with their knees or ankles. Okay, so why don't we send him to you? You got two ladies right there.
I felt pain in a left knee.
Sorry, you felt pain?
In a left knee.
Left knee. Left knee. Awesome.
Pain in the lower back. I feel like God wants to hear that.
Well?
Anyone? Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Do you have one?
I just saw someone carrying something really, really heavy, and it wasn't natural, but it became painful on the shoulders and neck because of the situation.
Okay. So someone's in the middle of a situation that's really heavy for them, and it's on their shoulders. Okay. There's a few of us that have a few things here. It's awesome. We'll just get an overhaul this week.
I've got a problem with the left ear. I think it's the left one, but problem with an ear.
Okay. There's two people there. And three. Okay.
Okay, I had a feeling of pressure in the head. So I think it's related to high blood pressure, something like that.
Okay, anybody got high blood pressure? Here's one. Anybody have pain in their head because of it? And this lady too? Anyone else who has specific pain in their head because of the blood pressure? Okay, well, I'd go for both.
Well, I don't have a physical symptom. I just really felt to pick up on Julie's word about a gift of faith. Yeah. So if anyone's facing a situation where God's given them a word and you have to stand in faith and you need, you know, more faith to see that through, I'd just like to pray for you.
Okay, so who is that person who definitely needs faith to get through that situation? So you can pray for her. Is there anyone else who is saying, Lord, if you can just help me hang on to you, help me believe that it's true, then come see Joanna. Brian, do you have another word?
So the other thing I had was ulcer. And I don't mean like, it wasn't stomach ulcer. It was ulcer as in a pretty ghastly opening on the surface of the skin. Probably in the feet. That's what I had.
So anybody have an ulcer or a gaping wound, something that won't heal? Ulcer? Okay. Okay, great. So for the rest of us who may not be responding to one of these words, how about we just turn our faith to the people around us and say, God, we ask you to move according to your word, according to what you already have said you want to do. Healing for us as believers is like bread for children. This is not something we have to beg him for. Jesus already paid in full when he died on the cross for every physical need that I and you would have, right? It's not hard for him. So if you're just waiting, then put your hand towards somebody and say, God, I agree. I agree for that healing for them. I say yes to what you're doing in their body. Okay, so those of you who are praying, especially the early people who gave their words, don't forget to ask them what's happening. What's changing? Lord, we just say yes and amen to all that you're doing. Those of you who are praying for people, ask what's happening. Is there any change? Is anything moving? Any pain leaving? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just say yes. We give you, Holy Spirit, some time and space this morning. We give you some time and space this morning. So what's happening to him? Did you ask him what happened? Has anything changed? Remember, if we're praying for people, take that next step and say, okay, is anything changing? Test it out. Is anything different? Holy Spirit, we ask you to move in the room. We ask you to move in the room. Trevor, what's happening with the guy that you prayed for? You asked them what's happening. We want to check it out, right? We want to see what's going on. Okay. Okay, so Michelle felt a warmth in her lungs after prayer. That's great. Come on, Holy Spirit, the whole thing. The whole thing, Holy Spirit. We speak complete restoration to those lungs. How's your neck? So, is it better? Better than it was? But there's still a little bit there. Okay, so put your hand on again and say, Jesus, just like you, I'm praying again. And we just tell that weight to go.
In his case, was he one who was carrying something heavy?
Yes.
Yeah. So did you pray with that?
Yeah.
And did you give him that thing? Did you give him that thing?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what it is. It's a couple of things that Lucas...
Okay. Well, how would I just lead you in that prayer? So Jesus, for some reason today, say this.
Jesus, for some reason.
You have highlighted this for me. And these things that I'm concerned about have not gone unnoticed by you. So today I make a choice to mention them and give them to you again. Lord, as I just admit to myself I can't carry them alone. Yeah, so hold your hands, just give them to me. I need your wisdom. I need your comfort. I need you to work out what I can't work out. I give you the load that is too big for me. And Father, as he does that, would you lift off his shoulders and lift off his neck the weight of responsibility that you have never intended him to carry? In Jesus' name, we speak peace to his body that has been coping. Yes, Lord. Press in. How's that doing? Yeah, so if there's still a twinge, go for that twinge. You're not having a twinge. Jesus wouldn't know. Right? Okay.
Keep moving, Holy Spirit. Keep moving, Holy Spirit. Does anybody feel anything shifting or moving or that's better? Wave your hands. Carol does. Okay? So head is fine now? Head is fine. So what happened? Hang on a sec.
The skull got lifted up, the pressure went, and pain went.
Awesome.
Pain went. Yeah. So pain went. So those of you sort of spectating, pain went here in her head. That's great, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Awesome.
Greasy fingers.
Greasy fingers.
Greasy fingers.
And how are you doing?
Loosening.
It's loosening.
It's loosening. Father, the whole thing.
Yes, yes.
The whole thing, Jesus. The whole thing, Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you go.
Just an update. Clive and Barty had prayer for their lungs as well, and they both felt they could breathe better, and there was a relief of air and expansion of lungs and irritants and mucus disappearing in Jesus' name.
Wow. Who prayed for them?
We all prayed for each other at the same time.
You did. Remember who he uses, okay? Anybody else have anything they want to share? Something shifted, pressure? Who's the person with the rusty bolt? You. Who was it that you prayed for? Who responded to that word? And so how, what was rusty? What was? Okay, come here. Here, you interview him.
Okay.
You do.
All right, Tess. Tell me, what was the problem?
The thing is, the knee was actually aching, and I keep getting clicks as well every time I move it. But the moment you put your hand on it, I felt a bit of warmth, and it's kind of healed, so I think it's healed.
So yeah. Is there any clicking or any pain? Come on.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
He saw you today and said, I love my boy. And I'm just going to take care of that knee. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, definitely.
Aww, God bless you. God bless you. That's awesome. It's awesome. Anybody else have anything they want to share? How are we doing? Feeling more wobbly in the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Well, if you're more wobbly than you were, then find a safe seat. We don't want you to fall over. I see. Well, more than. Just say more than. Okay, so I feel a little more encouraged, don't you? If you can, you can take your seats. You know, there's a few people that got healed in the room today. And although we would admit that when we pray for someone and they get healed, it makes us look good. But that's not why Jesus heals, although he loves to work with us. The reason Jesus heals is because he loves. And some of you have been healed in the room just because he wanted to remind you that his eye is on you today. Jesus is the kindest and nicest person that I've ever met in all of my life, and he only has good things. That's why I love Spirit Cafe. You know, we had the opportunity 2 weeks ago now, maybe three, to go to the National Exhibition Center in Birmingham, and I'm sure most of you have heard this already in terms of our statistics. But you know why I like to share it? Because I'm genuinely excited. I'm genuinely excited at a team of people being let loose in a really positive, safe, honoring way, let loose with the gospel of truth that he is a God of love who wants to encounter us. And although many of the people that we meet related to Spirit Cafe are people who are spiritually hungry and looking in other places for God, I've met thousands of them now who go to psychics and mediums and all sorts of stuff, which I have never in all my days have anything to do with. It's sort of the farthest thing from my own experience as possible because I met Jesus as a small little girl. But I have never met one of them who's been looking for the devil. They may be misguided. They may have a lot of really mixed up, strange ideas, but they somehow are looking for the very same thing you and I are looking for. And that is our God of love. And so it's, much like I shared yesterday in terms of Jesus going to, in John chapter 4, going to the well and talking to the Samaritan woman. He does turn to them and say, the fields are ripe all around you. One translation says the Samaritan fields are ripe. And so if you're not having a whole lot of success with sharing Jesus with your friends or the people that you know, you might want to just look around and see if there's anybody else who you've sort of assumed didn't want Jesus. So at the NEC, it's a huge psychic event, really. It's called the Mind, Body, Spirit event. It's a wellness event. So there are smoothie makers and Save the Cat people and that kind of thing. There's also really outrageous occult and demonic stuff. But we're actually the only Christians there. There was one other Christian guy there this year in a very small capacity, which was great. But we had the privilege of having treatments of encounter moments of 5 or 10 minutes each with 975 people in a weekend who all by choice sat down like this with their nervousness, sat down with two complete strangers that they didn't know and said, I want one of those treatments there. Honestly, it just blows me away. It honestly thrills my heart that people would be so hungry that they would come and sit down. And 975 people sat down. 55 of those people got dramatically healed. And the percentage was between 65 and 85% of those who asked for physical healing got completely healed, which is a huge percentage. And of all of those people, 453 gave their lives to Jesus. Does that not just make you say, what? It's incredible, incredible. Our sort of our international statistic is about 25%, but not at something like this. They're hungrier. They're hungrier. They paid more to come to this event. And you know, if you're thinking that sort of praying for the sick is weird, you need to hear some of my stories on this. Because we are, you know, we have a stall there, and we're going to do this again next year, inviting your team to come and participate in that. We have a stall. It's not very big. It's only 6 meters by 4 meters, of which we cram 30 people plus visitors into this in some sort of organized fashion to do a spirit cafe. It costs us over 7,000 pounds because we give everything away for free. But when you see lives transformed because we gave them an opportunity, honestly, there's nothing like it. And you may think that pursuing healing like this and praying again for healing like this and whatever uncomfortableness we have, I'm telling you that place was full of 10,000 people a day who are desperate to be healed and desperate to find God. We were across from an association of Reiki healers, and they're all day long. We've got people over here in the corner over here who believe that if they stand in a copper bowl with whatever frequency issues, I don't know it, don't want to know really what they believe, and they think I'm weird for pursuing healing. You know, so you need to discard that thought that we are this fringe little group of weird people who think God is still alive and well. Not at all. We are these privileged few weird people who know what he's done for me and what he wants to do still through me. It's incredibly exciting. It's just not so exciting if you're always the bystander. And so let's get in there. Let's get in there and start practicing. If we don't practice what he's given us, then I don't think we'll get more. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. By the way, Wes Boxall is doing better. It was a mild heart attack. And they are doing lots of tests today, if you were around yesterday to pray for that. So thank you, Lord. Give them wisdom. Matthew 25, verse 14. I think I've shared something like this before, but I really felt like this is what the Lord wanted to speak to this church again today. Is that okay? Yes. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 14, is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And we should stop there for a second and just realize he actually means me here. He has delivered goods to every one of us who is a believer. He's delivered his goods to me. He drove up in his big truck. He offloaded some goods and he delivered them to me. What are we talking about? Well, we'll get to that. To the one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another one, he gave 1. To each according to his own ability. We should stop there for a second. Aren't you glad that he knows me and he knows what I'm capable of? So I don't have to take the risks that Brian takes necessarily. I have to step into the risks that he's asking me to take with what he's given me, because he is a loving dad who knows what him and me together can accomplish. And he will never ask me to do something that him and me together can't do. That would not be loving, would it? That would be a setup for failure, and that's not who he is. So can you just say that to yourself? God, is it really true that you would ask me to do something that you know you and I can succeed at? You'll never ask me to do something that's too hard. So when you feel prompted to pray for the person beside you at the office, everybody know what I mean by prompted? Your heart starts to beat a little faster. You can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You feel that nudge. We need to practice embracing that rather than dismissing that. Because that's Him asking us to do something with Him. He never asks us to do it on our own. We know that's biblical. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm not going to send you out to look like an idiot and just leave you standing there. It's not who He is. There are some other keys like persistence that we need to add to our regime, but He's never going to ask me to do something that Him and I together can't do, ever. And so He's given us these abilities and talents and I would even say preferences and likes. We were talking about this yesterday, Brian, about a really good book that I found really helpful in terms of team building, and it's called Strength Finders. And it's a secular book, really, but it's so helpful in terms of strengths, and I'm not really advertising the book, but just so helpful in terms of kingdom stuff. I think there's 40 strengths that they define in this book, and they would define or give a definition of a strength as something you do practically perfect all the time. So there are things that God has put in you and things that He has put in me that I just think are me. And they might be, but He has put those in me and trusted me to do something with them. So Brian and Mary are very good at relationship. Doesn't mean they're perfect. So if you've been offended by them, sort it out. Honestly, because it's one of their strengths. They are good at relationships with people. Part of what God has given this house is relationships. You love your community. You have favor with your food bank stuff. You just have favor in relationships. But He wants us to do something with those talents that He's given us. And I'm not just talking about spiritual things in terms of words of knowledge or prophecy or any of those things. I'm talking about the kingdom things that He gives to you and I that He says, I can trust Lori with this. So one of the things that I know He knows He can trust me with is some heart stuff. And when I was little, I was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I would cry when He would come in the room. I can remember adults saying to me, just watch her because we'll know when the Holy Spirit comes in the room. I hated it. Don't make me your barometer. You go find Him yourself. I used to beg the Lord to not let me cry in front of people for years. Years. I hate it. I don't like it. And finally gave up and said, okay, whatever. You know, whatever you want to do, I'm just going to try to be myself. There is something, though, that happens when I decide to cooperate on a heart level and be vulnerable. And I've seen it over and over again. If I decide to be vulnerable, it kind of cracks the tension in the room. And other people get a chance to be vulnerable then. That's just one thing, but one example of what has God put on you and in you that makes you unique. Something He's entrusted to you. You might be really, really talented at noticing when visitors come in. You don't want anybody to not get a greeting. You might be really, really talented at just noticing when someone is sad and sending them flowers. You might be really, really tuned in spiritually and you have dreams about people and you pray for them because of those dreams. Whatever it is that God has given, we need to own these things and think that they are amazing. Just before we go on with that, would you just turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 2 for a second? We'll come back to Matthew 25. You can put a pin in it if you want. Exodus chapter 2. Genesis, Exodus. Second book, second chapter, second verse. There's a prophetic message there somewhere in there. Anyway. Okay, so verse 1 says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. Now the backstory of this about Moses was that every male child was ordered by the king to be killed. But there was something that happened with this couple. They looked at what God had given them and said, this is a beautiful thing. One translation says, this is a special child. And I want in my own life to be looking at the things God has given me. I think of Spirit Cafe a bit like this. I know it's my baby and I'm a bit fierce about it. Not in a negative way, but you know, you guys will know when you sort of signed the contract. Everybody has a little bit of difficulty with the terminology initially. Do we have to call it that? Can we change any of the words? The short answer is no, you can't. You can go do whatever you want to do, but if you want to call it Spirit Cafe, according to the trademark, according to the blueprints that we really believe God has given us, you have to do it this way. No problem if you don't like it, but that's the way we're going to do it. That's what this baby looks like. Because something was deposited in my heart at the same time, which was, this is a beautiful child. This is not something that I should just throw carelessly away. This is not something that doesn't matter that it's implemented correctly. You know, when I raised my children, I did believe in discipline, by the way. I believed in spanking my children, as contrary as that is nowadays. But I didn't want my children to grow up to be the brats in the room. I wanted them to understand respect and honor. I wanted them to tell me the truth. I would often say to my kids, if you tell me the truth, you will not get a spanking. But if you lie to me and I find out later, then you're going to get a spanking. Because the truth really matters to me. And my kids, by and large, are very well-liked and well-received people. But if we don't honor the thing that God has given us, honestly, do we expect Him to give us any more? You know, are you looking at your talents and abilities, whether it's just how comfortable you are with people, whether it's prophetic gifting you get once in a while? I put all of your leadership completely on the spot here and said, you guys need to come up with some words of knowledge or something. Some of them it's probably very natural for. Some of them it might not be quite so natural. Bit of a stretch. But if we don't use and exercise the things that He has given us and treasure them and say, this is valuable, why would I expect more from Him? And the truth is, we do expect more. I expect my life to be more fruitful than it is right now. I expect my family to be preserved. I expect no harm to come to my children. I expect the goodness and mercy of the Lord to follow me and chase after me and catch me and find me. I have expectations of the Lord for more, don't you? I expect those things from Him because I've read, it's challenged me. It's made me believe that He is this guy who has said these things to me. And because of that, I do expect more from Him. But you see, this is a relationship. This is not a boss and a paid hired employee. This is a relationship I have with Jesus. I have known Jesus for 54 years. How glorious is that? I am so blessed. I'm so thankful my dad took the time to tell a 3-year-old who Jesus is. That he didn't park at, she won't understand. We'll just wait till she's a teenager and gone through a bunch of stuff in life. He decided, I'm so grateful for this. I'm going to tell her who he is when she's 3. Give her an opportunity to include him in all these years of life. I never had a test or an exam all the way through school that I didn't include the Lord. It was just natural to me. Please help me. Help me to remember. Help me to study. Please help me to have peace. I'm a nervous wreck. You know, all those things. I'm so grateful for that. My dad planted seeds in there and watered them through the years and took me to different things. I'm really, really grateful for those things. And now I'm at the place where I've actually made some decisions not to do what he said to do. You know, when we started the Spirit Cafe, he wanted to give me £10,000 to buy some better machines, coffee and sandwich machines or whatever. And I asked the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't take his money. I don't want it to be about the food. I only want it to be about the spiritual stuff on the menu. Okay, new thing. Let's go. But if we don't look at the child, look at the gift, look at the things that he has given us and treasure it, I don't believe that can be spared. What would have happened if the parents of Moses did not take that risk? Yeah, he would have died. The nation would not have been saved. See, the Father has promised Jesus the nations. But who is actually going to be accomplishing that? Hands up if you think it's you. plays a part of that. Is it a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it is. But you know who flew to Achinsk, Siberia? I did. Did I particularly want to go? Not really. In terms, I mean, I was excited about going there, but it was still like, this is foreign. I could have certainly done with a couple weeks off. You know, we've had a really busy year. Could have done with just some time off doing nothing. It's really hard for me actually to book weeks off because there's always something amazing like that. Do you know who's going to help give Jesus the nations? You and I. And it comes one person at a time, like Mother Teresa said. How do you do this? How do you take Jesus to a city like Calcutta and have success? And she said, I just love the one in front of me. It's all I know to do. And the Holy Spirit is so eager and anxious to give us opportunities to heal in Jesus' name as a representative of what the heavenly kingdom really looks like. Not just so that we look good. It does happen along the way, and you just kind of need to get used to that. You know, you need to be okay if the sermon that you preach or whatever is a complete bomb. Does it matter? Not really. Did you do what he asked you? That's what matters. I did my best to find what you were saying and say that. But I want healings to follow my ministry, my children's ministry, our spirit cafe. I'm not content, by the way, in our spirit cafes for the international standard to be 60 to 70% of people that get healed. I'm not okay with that. As a matter of fact, some of the Burn 24/7 guys in Edinburgh have 100% success rate for healing. Do you know what that did in my heart? I want that. A little bit of healthy competition there. Not because I think it's wonderful. What it says to me is there's more. Press in for more. Don't settle for 60%. Don't settle for 70%. I think it's much more realistic that every person would get healed because that's what Jesus did. That is way more biblical and way more theologically sound than settling for whatever percentage we have. But there is an element of embracing what he has invested. And I'm choosing to embrace it. And this is one of those foundational verses in Exodus that just keeps bringing me back to center and bringing me back to, this is a beautiful child that you've given me. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Do you know, I stayed home. I'm actually a business person at heart. And when my children were born, I made a decision that I want to be a keeper at home, like the Bible says, with my children. And it was hard to do at times in terms of finances. And I would say, but Lord, I'm kind of stuck here with the kids all day. How can I tell anyone about you? And I would be aware of delivery people that would come to my door and I would pray for them. This old guy one day came to deliver some legal papers of something or other. He was driving like a 15, 20 year old car with plastic taped for the windows. And he was about 70 years old. Man, could I ever feel the heart of God for him? I'm like, this poor man is so desperate for provision that this is what he's doing. Let me pray for you. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever that moment of trust and treasure is, it was a treasure to raise my children. Really was. I'm so thrilled that he gave me some ideas and ways to stay home and provide for them at home. We don't all have that option. I understand that. But whatever it is that is sort of passionate on your heart, whatever it is that you feel like, I am committed to this. I like this. I want to do this. Then do it with everything you have. As if the Lord himself, like in this passage back in Matthew, entrusted it to you. So let's go back to Matthew. We've got just a few more minutes. Is that okay? Matthew. Your Wi-Fi is nice and good here. It's really good. Ours is so bad at home that you can't really ever trust it on your phone. So Matthew 25, we were beginning to read it, weren't we? Verse 15. So he gives to each according to his own ability. One version, by the way, rather than giving his goods to them, says he invests in them. Has anyone ever invested in anything? You know, like stocks and bonds or, you know, when you first invest, you know what you do? You check it all the time. You check if it's gone up or down and, you know, after a while you just check it once a month or whatever. But initially, you check it all the time. See, God is investing in you and I because he is hoping, love hopes all things, and planning on a return from that investment. Because he's not stupid. And I wouldn't invest in some bank account that gave me nothing. I wouldn't call it an investment. I would just call it parking it, right? But if it's an investment, then you want a return on it. And immediately, at the end of that verse about according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. In other words, he did something with them and made another 5 talents. Verse 17, and likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. See, he still doesn't think it's his. He is aware that it's the Lord's. And even knowing that it's the Lord's, he buries it. And so we can have an awareness that the Lord has given us stuff, but still just be living in fear or misconceptions, which was the case with this man. After a long time, tell the person beside you a long time. You know, some of us are waiting for the soon return of the Lord, aren't we? I mean, part of my fire about winning the lost and fishing, I love fishing now, not in the natural, but spiritually. I just want to go fishing all the time now because it's super fun. But part of that drive is because I think we have a little time. I do. I think if you look around at all kinds of horrors and amazing encounters people are having with God, both, you can see that something's really out. Anyway, because of that, I think we have a little time. Now is not the time to bury what he gives you. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22, he also who'd received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Tell the person beside you few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent, now the Lord still knew, although he got less than the other guys, his ability allowed him to produce harvest on that 1 thing. We've already prefaced that. He gave according to their abilities. This guy had a smaller ability, but he still had an ability. He's not an unjust master here. He gave according to his ability. He's also wise enough to not invest the bigger portion to the guy who didn't actually follow through. But anyway. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate that verse? Really? You know, hopefully none of us in the room are actually thinking he's so harsh that if I get it wrong, it's just not worth doing anything. I'll just risk saying nothing. Because if I get it wrong, I'm going to get beat up. You know what I would ask you? What was your dad like? What happened at home when you got it wrong? Because he's not like that. He picked a bunch of disciples and right off the bat called them apostles. That's staggering to me. Like, can't you prove yourself before you get that promotion? They'd done nothing. They didn't know who he was. They just followed him. And even up till the end, they were still arguing about who's the greatest one. They hadn't really learned the lessons of the heart that we have so much opportunity to learn. They're still fighting about which one of us is more important, which maybe we do once in a while. Right? But we have an opportunity to take the things that he has invested in me. He has invested some things in me. And number one, I want to look at them and say, this is beautiful. What he's given me is amazing. You know, you've probably heard my story about the double egg yolks, but you know, I've heard of people that had feathers and gold dust, and you know, we've had some amazing phenomena in our church as well, but we went through a really bad time, a really bad church split in our church, as well as me having to work with some people that really just didn't get me at all. And it was just such a trial. But anyway, in the midst of people leaving our church and not being able to talk about why from the front, I just had to faithfully get up every week and try to bring the word of the Lord and try to just keep my own attitude right and not talk about everything I wanted to say from the front. Because I did. I did want to. I wanted to set the record straight. You know what happens when people start to leave your church? You know what the first thing is? I wonder what the pastor's done. I wonder what the leaders have done. I wonder how they've been offended. I've been a pastor for 19 years now, so I know the drill. And I don't get that opportunity in this case to share my side of the story, because that's not honorable to do, right? You all get to vote what church you go to. I don't get to vote whether you come, right? You need to honor your own choice, right? Not be too fickle about that. Anyway, another message. So I get up the next day, and I open my egg, and it's a double egg yolk. I know lots of you have heard this story. It's still a beautiful story. So I crack my egg, and it's a double egg yolk. I've never had one in my life. So I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Next day, double egg yolk. Next day, double egg yolk. So now, over 10 days, which is now over another Sunday, people are starting to get this, and they're like, well, what about today? Well, what happened today? I say to my youngest daughter, Jackie, I have the third one in a row. She Googles it. What are the chances of having three double egg yolks in a row? And this is what it says. You have a better chance of winning the lottery than getting three double egg yolks in a row. So I went and bought a lottery ticket. And no, I didn't win. Bought my large eggs from Aldi's, still do. And all 10 in the box were double egg yolks. That's my beautiful baby sign. One of the signs that is very dear to me. And, you know, I have a little bit of a logical brain, and I said, well, I don't really know how this happens. There must be some sort of an X-ray clearinghouse type thing where maybe they send double egg yolks to bakeries or, you know, I don't know how this works. So I went to the manager. Meanwhile, I'm hearing the Lord begin to talk to me about double portion, but actually about something else that was even more significant. And I went to the manager of the Aldi store, and I said, I have had a box of large eggs and all 10 are double egg yolks. Have you by any chance had a lot of people coming to you saying, you know, there's been a lot of double egg yolks. Maybe Aldi's got this huge shipment of double egg yolks or something. And he said, well, I've been a manager here for 7 years and I've never had a double egg yolk. It must be a sign for you. It's actually what he said. Secular guy. And I'm like, you are too true. That is definitely a sign for me. And the Lord began to speak to me about stepping up into sort of another level of maturity, really, in terms of picking my own team. And he said this, you get to pick the people who will do revival with you. You don't have to just be assimilated into somebody else's plan for you. You don't have to work with people who don't get you and love you and understand you. You get to pick your own team. But there are these hidden relationships for revival that have been tucked away and hidden like a yolk in an egg that are about to be revealed. Because back to that scripture about, you know, we've been fishing all night, nothing has come. Jesus tells them to throw it on the other side. When their net is so full of fish, because of the word of the Lord, their boat begins to sink, the Bible says, and they turn to their partners on the lake. I think there were more than a couple of fishing boats on the lake, because I know enough about fishermen that when the fish are out there, they're all out. But not everybody necessarily is somebody you trust with the things that are precious to you. I wouldn't trust everyone to stand in my church and give an admonition to our church. I'm sure you guys feel the same. Even though you're very open in what you do with the schools and stuff, you've checked them out a bit first. You want to know what they're going to bring. Because, you know, when you parent a church like this, when you love your people, you're investing in it. I remember a guy came to our church one time, and it was just so wrong what he did. We were talking about, he was talking about writing a worship song. And for some reason, he didn't know enough about us at all, but I came in late. I had to take somebody to the hospital. But when I came in, he began to trash some of my favorite worship songs and say things like, that is not theologically correct. I can't think of one of them at the moment to give you an example. but even his own songs that he was trashing. And he went on to talk about, you know, if you have any issues in life that you're still struggling with, perhaps sin issues you're still struggling with, I would tell you this, I don't think you're saved. And I have spent years, week in and week out, investing in an atmosphere of grace and an atmosphere, it's okay to have stuff, just let's get healed. Of making it safe for us to be real. And in one sentence, the oxygen was sucked out of the room. And I was so mad. I'm sitting there on the front row thinking, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to do this. I do not know how to get up and correct this guy publicly in my church. I don't want to dishonor him, but this is not okay. And so there was a question moment, and I said, oh, could I answer that? So I quickly came up and took the microphone. And I said, I just want to address that comment a minute ago and say this. When Jesus said at the cross, it is finished, I believe categorically that that is true. He paid for my healing. He paid for my sickness. He paid for my disease. He paid for my shame. He completed the work the Father needed for atonement. Finished work, right? We would all agree to that. But in terms of sickness or things that we're still walking out, have any of you ever had a cold? Does that mean it's not a finished work? Nope. Does it mean I'm not a Christian? Nope. It just means that there is a process of me believing and taking on board, it's called sanctification, of me actually putting into practice and in reality that he paid that for me. So this whole process here of inner healing and bumping into each other and learning to forgive and have conflict effectively and all of that is so that when I see him face to face, I will look like him. So just smile at the person beside you and say, you're almost there. You're not quite there, but you're almost there. See, we are being changed from glory to glory. We start at glory. I love you, Jesus. You're a complete, you completely rescued me. To this next level of revelation and glory. Most of us would look back and say, you know, I think I am more gracious than I was 10 years ago. Right? I think I can trust him more without, you know, hammering people about things. But we've got to be faithful with what he's given us because this is for the nations. Luke chapter 19. And I think I'm going to finish on that. Hopefully. Well, some of you might be saying hopefully. Luke chapter 19, verse 26, is basically the same account of delivering talents. It calls it minas, and it was 10 instead of 5. But let's just look at verse 11 for a second. Well, verse 12. Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. That's an important thing to note. Do business till I come. Do the business of the kingdom of heaven until we see him again. There is work to do. It's not just about my busy life and my busy family and all of that. There is work that he is requiring of you and I to do. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, because you were faithful with a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And when we talk about Jesus inheriting the nations, there is something about our participation in learning how to rule and reign and invade cities. I felt like we invaded St. Petersburg. Just very, on a very small scale. Don't worry. I don't think more grand of myself. I'm aware, and I love that fact actually, that Spirit Cafe is actually a bit covert. It's just small enough to not really make a big splash. You can kind of get in and out, save a bunch of people and equip a bunch of people, and then you're off, right? I think it's great. But I also know something happened there. So a couple times in my life, I have shared the double egg yolk story. One was in Ukraine when we went and took Sozo there. And the next day, she said, Lori, look, I have double egg yolks. I've never had that. And I'm like, Lord, I wonder what that means. Is this one of the revival partners? Is that what this means? I don't know. But her fruitfulness, this friend of mine there now, is in charge of SOZO over all of the Eastern Bloc. Russia, Kazakhstan, Belarus, Ukraine, all the Eastern Bloc. Delegated by the Bethel Authority to do that. Great fruit. When I went to Achinsk, Siberia, the next morning after their spirit cafe, after we had flown off to St. Petersburg, she had to send us this message. We got double egg yolks today. And I'm saying, Lord, are these revival partners? Now, I'm not going to be too superstitious about this, but it is getting my attention because that sign that he gave me is a beautiful thing. It changed the atmosphere in our church. I don't know how and I don't know why, but signs do stuff like that. So then we went to St. Petersburg and, you know, we kind of interrupted an ongoing school to bring Spirit Cafe, kind of inserted ourselves with their permission, but it felt a little bit like you guys already have a program and you're moving it to allow us to come for a couple of days. Got this picture after I talked to them about the double egg yolks just at dinner when we were leaving. And the next day is this bowl full of double filled hard boiled eggs, double yolked eggs that they were serving to the rest of the school. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Are you doing something with this? I don't know. It's a bit silly, isn't it? But we need to own the things that God has given us and begin to look through the eyes of Moses' parents and say, this is a beautiful thing you've given me. I may not be able to do this, this, or this. It may be only one thing that I'm good at. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, if you watch any of her stuff on YouTube, she will say this, I'm no good at anything. I can't sing. I can't play the piano. I'm not attractive. She'd just go on and on about the things that she's not. But she'll say, but this one thing I'm good at, I love Jesus. And it's worth just stopping for a second and looking at the things that God has given you. And making a determined, I don't know, we're about to face a New Year's. This is a good New Year's message, really, isn't it? What are you going to do with 2020? You know, I want to go after the things that he's given me. I believe in healing, but I also know I have something to do in terms of releasing that. And so do you, if you're a believer. We don't have to wait for just some spontaneous healing. Most miracles are because somebody got involved and partnered with the power of God. Most miracles are not supernaturally sovereign, right? Somebody prayed. That's why I asked you, Trevor, who prayed? Because you had something to do with it. So how many people got healed or at least partially healed today? Hands up for a second. Okay, just look around the room. Keep your hand up for a minute. To realize somebody took that little risk to call out a word of knowledge. I mean, Brian's word of knowledge couldn't have been more backpedaling if he'd tried. Right?
I shared it, right?
He did share it. That's absolutely the point. We can be in this place of not feeling as confident as somebody else or wherever we're at with it. But if we will do it, we happen to be serving a God who will always back us up. Because that's who he is. One of his names is faithful and true. Can we stand? Father, I'm just so grateful for this house. I'm grateful for the anointing on Brian and Mary and their leadership team to relate to people. And I ask them, Father, for a download of strategy.
Word.
On how to reach the lost, how to reach the disenfranchised, how to reach the broken Christians that don't go to church anymore, how to reach the prodigals, how to gather and assemble a team, how to pick that team, that all of the distractions along the way, Lord, would be completely pushed aside. Because there is a seed in this house to grow healthy family. And if ever the church needed it, it's now. If ever the world around us needs to understand what a family looks like, now is that time, Lord. And you have promised, I think it's Proverbs, you will put the lonely in families. Lord, there is a family anointing on this house. And if you consider yourself one of the members, you need to just raise your hand and say, I'll take some of that. I will take some of that. And along the way, He might still have to sort out some stuff in your own personal family. I get it. That doesn't mean the anointing is not on you if you're part of this house. But it's time to start to gather those who have no shade. I think that's a word of the Lord for you. There are some who have no shade. And they need shade. And that comes with unconditional love. It comes with representing him in a way that is just not conforming, but Lord, I got nothing but branches here. You know, I got branches. I got arms. I may not be able to do this and this and this and this, but I have arms and I can provide some shade and shelter for some. I can find a way to express the heart of God to the people around this area or in countries where we have influence, nations where we have influence. I think your increase in nations is about to go up because you've been faithful with what he's given you. And it's, there's such an anointing on you to provide shade for those who need shade. And so I really bless that on you guys. You can weigh that and, you know, hopefully that's accurate from the Lord. But Father, we just stand before you, your people. And I just want to lead us all in a prayer just to quickly say sorry to the Lord for any times where we have discounted what he's given us. And we compared it to somebody else's baby and said, that baby's better looking. That baby is worth saving, but my baby is so insignificant. You know, we need to get the heart of a parent about our baby because no one will ever love my babies like I did. I have one granddaughter now. And I reminded my daughter today when I said, how's everything? And she said, oh, I'm a little bit frustrated with her at the moment. I said, well, at the risk of annoying you, I'm going to just remind you, she's perfect. She said, I know, Mom. If we won't love what God has given us, don't ever expect anyone else to. Don't ever expect promotion if you won't first love it yourself. And instead of comparing ourselves to others, which the Bible says do not do, and looking at what you have compared to what somebody else has, or what opportunities you have compared to somebody else's platform and stage, don't do it. Because the one who sees it all, the great businessman of heaven, who has invested in you and me, knows exactly what's on that ledger. He knows exactly what he's invested. He's not forgotten. And he will come and say, what'd you do with what I gave you? Not because he's harsh, but because he wants more. Do you know, it was a celebration day for two out of three of those people. They got more. It was promotion day for them. It was only the guy who lived in fear of who he really was as a master, as a Lord. And the guy who decided, this is not very valuable. You've given me one piddly little thing. So I'm just going to bury this. This has no real significance. That's the only guy that found that to be a sad day. The other two, it was promotion day. Isn't that great? Do you know when we get to heaven, it's going to be promotion day. You'll say, what'd you do? What'd you do with extending your arms? Did you provide shade? What about that guy? What about that, whatever social issues we've got going on? Did you provide shade while you sorted them out? Did you love them while you sorted them out? Did you love them while you welcomed them? Because that's what he's asking. So Father, I just ask that you would lead us from our hearts to repent before you. Not just because maybe the guy beside me is listening, but because you are listening. And so if you feel like this is accurate for you, then I'm just going to pray you can repeat after me if it feels like a right fit about just telling him sorry for not acknowledging what he's given me. Heavenly Father, today, I do acknowledge that there are some things you have given me and reminded me about today that if I'm honest, I have not placed high value on. I have discounted them, buried them, been afraid to use them. And I just want to tell you I'm really sorry because there is more that I expect from you. I expect you to bless my family. I expect you to keep your promises to me. There is more to come. And I do want this partnership. So I'm sorry where I have hidden and undermined and belittled what you have given me. And I choose with my own eyes to look at what you have given me and smile. And say, this is a beautiful child. This is an amazing gift and ability you've given me. I'm so grateful that this doesn't look like someone else. You've given me something special to do. A special task. And today, Lord, I step into a whole new place. I say yes. And I participate in giving Jesus the nations of the earth. Use me and spend me any way that you like. In your wonderful name, Jesus, I give you my life afresh today. And just keep your eyes closed for a second. I just want to do this because I like to do this. If we've been talking a lot about Jesus today, and I don't want anybody looking around the room, and you maybe are visiting. I don't know who's visiting and who's a normal person here at this church, so forgive me for that. But I think it's worth just throwing out the net and just saying, if you're here and you've heard me talk about Jesus and this amazing Father in heaven who loves you, and it's kind of news to you, and you've never been given the opportunity to give your life for Jesus, I want us all just to pray this little prayer of repentance in remembrance for most of us, but perhaps for you it would be the first time. Say this after me. Jesus, thank you that you were obedient to God the Father to give up your life to pay for the mistakes and choices I have made. The things that I have done that have hurt myself and others. And I tell you today, I'm so sorry for those things. And since you're willing, I ask you to take my place. I say yes to what you already paid for. Help me to forgive those who've harmed me as I ask you to forgive me for the things that I have done that have hurt others. Just keep your eyes closed for a minute. Is there anyone in the room who has prayed that prayer for the first time today? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would love to pray for you if that's true. Okay. Could I ask one of the pastors to come and pray for you right now while I close the meeting? And then I'm going to come. Would that be okay? Or do you want to come up here and I'll pray for you? Is it your first time praying that prayer today? Can I pray for you? Would you be okay to come up here, or do you want me to come to you? Okay, come. Thank you, Lord. Mary, you can come stand with me. Do you know, I, like you've heard, bring hubby. You know, when I was a little girl, I accepted Jesus. Here, turn this way, and then you can't see them looking at you. I think that's better. And I've never regretted a single day of my life in Jesus. Never. Never once. Doesn't mean everything has gone my way, but I've never been alone. I've never regretted it. So can all of you who probably remember the day that you made this similar decision, just stretch your hands to her and just say in your own heart, I'm so with you. I'm just so for you. Jesus, I thank you for this precious woman. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill her overflowing, that you would take her to this whole new place of relationship with you, of teamwork with you, where this is not just what I heard or read, but this is who I know. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal Jesus to her. And Jesus, I ask you to reveal the Father to her, and that you bless this family and all that they put their hands to. Protect these seeds, Lord. Protect this heart's desire to know you intimately. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. So just take the hand of someone beside you and say something like this. I'm so glad to be working on your team. I am. Okay, I'm done. You want to dismiss?
Okay.